Those votes have gone to Carter, and that does it. ABC now projects Carter is the winner with 272 electoral votes. We had wondered which one of us was going to make this announcement. It was the one who got the last projection, and it's the four Hawaii votes that, on our count, has put Carter over the top. By our projection, James Earl Carter, the next president of the United States.
1976 was the year. A reminder, the Electoral College is who really elects the president. Joining us now from deep in the crypt, Felix Bonnell, resident historian, wearing his knit cap and his snow jacket for some reason. No idea why.
I want to be prepared, Dave, you know.
Ready for the fallout.
Yeah. So it's nice hearing from Barbara Walters there in that little intro piece there, the big 1976 election. Lots of talk about the Electoral College this year. You know, it's that esoteric, mysterious, yet constitutional process to officially select the president. It's made up of real people chosen by the two major parties. Those electors aren't these just anonymous drones or robots who show up in Olympia. But each party chooses 12 here in Washington. This year, the Republicans have nothing to do because Hillary Clinton carried Washington, right? So on December 19th, they'll be getting together to officially select Hillary as the winner of Washington. But we had an incident here about 40 years ago when that's when Republican President Gerald Ford carried Washington. But as we heard from Barbara Walters, Jimmy Carter won the White House. Here in the Evergreen State, a Republican elector, at that time he was a 30-year-old Gonzaga-educated attorney named Mike Padden, he decided to go his own way.
Well, there's a name for it, but I sort of contest the term in my case because I don't feel it applies. But the term is faithless elector, but that implies that there was a pledge that somebody made and they broke the pledge. In my case, back in 1976, almost 40 years ago, there wasn't any pledge. There was no restriction at all. And I used my own best judgment in deciding what to do and went through a process checking to see if by any chance the race could be very close. And if it was within one or two or three electoral votes, I would not have voted for Governor Reagan, but would have voted for Gerald Ford.
So he voted for Ronald Reagan in 1976, mm-hmm. even though he was the elector and he was supposed to vote for Gerald Ford by tradition, right? So he's nowadays a state senator from Spokane Valley, and he was previously a district court judge. What's been forgotten in all of this is the reason why Mike Padden went rogue with his electoral vote. He says he wasn't being reckless. He just saw a chance to make a point. So on the morning of that Electoral College vote, this was December 13th, 1976, he checked by phone on a case in Ohio about a pending lawsuit, and he learned it wouldn't change the outcome of the election. Jimmy Carter was going to be the president.
And that then gave me, I felt, an opportunity to cast a vote for Governor Reagan and highlight his strong commitment to the pro-life cause. I had come out of the pro-life cause and also had been very active in Reagan's 1976 presidential campaign in Spokane County.
So this was a stand against abortion and in favor of pro-life. And this is just a few years after the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. The abortion issue was very raw at this point. The political establishment in Olympia wasn't happy with what Mike Padden did. In the next session, they passed a law forcing political parties to have their electors sign a pledge that they would vote for the popularly elected candidate or face a $1,000 fine. And they didn't choose to call it Mike's Law for some reason. I thought they would call it the Padden Law, but they didn't. And Mike Padden got thank you letters from the Reagan campaign, and he eventually met Ronald Reagan, who thanked him personally. In the short term and much closer to home, he got some pushback from a guy named Homer Cunningham, who was the chair of the Spokane County Republicans.
Well, the county chairman was a Ford guy, and he said, well, that's it, Patton. You'll never get elected to anything after that. But, of course, I did get elected 4 years later and got reelected a number of times.
Yeah. And, of course, Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980 and 1984, carrying Washington State both times. And this year, the electoral vote's going to be held in Olympia on Monday, December 19th. It's always the Monday after the second Wednesday, according to the Constitution or the regulations. Dave Ammons, who's the communications director for the Secretary of State's office, I asked him if he expects any drama or melodrama at this year's gathering.
No, I don't think so. I think it will just be nicely dressed Democrats coming to enjoy a little silver lining behind the dark cloud.
Well, there was a threat by one elector not to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, Bob Zetiacum. But it's sort of immaterial at this point. What does it matter? Yeah, but it's this little bit of the constitutional process that will be carried out in this little ceremony on December 19th, and we had our little spot in the sun 40 years ago when it went the wrong way.
It is a reminder, though. So, you can imagine a scenario where Donald Trump just went rogue during this interim period, right, and just started doing crazy stuff. The Electoral College would be sort of a stopgap to say, well, maybe this isn't a good idea after all. But I don't know whether it's because of that or because of whatever, Trump has gone out of his way, it seems to me, except for the occasional intemperate tweet to endear himself to people, especially with the carrier thing and now divesting himself of all his business holdings.
It's probably pretty sobering to realize that you've got this job. You got the job you went after for the last year and a half, and now you have to actually do it.